This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. With ratification officially completed by all parties on June 25th, 2026, a collective bargaining agreement has been reached between the University of Northern British Columbia, that's UNBC, and its faculty association, the UNBC-FA, which generally represents who you might refer to as the profs, along with numerous other teaching and library staff. That's about 375 people. Speaking with us today on the agreement is UMBC Provost Dr. Michelle S. Beaulieu, who can grant us a perspective on the administration side of things. But what is a provost? In Canadian universities, they are what you call the chief academic officer. Okay, so what does the provost do? They are responsible for overseeing resource allocation, strategic planning, and academic operations, all the while ensuring alignment with the institution's academic mission, in this case, UMBC's mission, vision, and values. We'll post a link on the web post. To do this, the provost typically supervises deans and other academic leadership roles. Dr. Beaulieu, is that an accurate description of your role at UMBC so far?
That is a fantastic description of a very large, sometimes unwieldy, but very comprehensive portfolio.
Okay. And about the collective bargaining agreement, the parties reached a tentative agreement on June 9th. UMBC Faculty Association members ratified that agreement on June 19th, 2026. And UMBC's Board of Governors ratified the agreement on June 25th, 2026. It has a rubber stamp, so to speak. Before asking Dr. Beaulieu how things went on the administration side of things, we'll posit that one to Dr. Jacqueline Holler to introduce the unions or faculty association's perspective. Dr. Jacqueline Holler is a UMBC professor in the Department of History, Women's Studies, and Gender Studies, also chair of Global and International Studies. And she also happens to be chief negotiator for the UMBC Faculty Association. Thanks for speaking with CIFA Radio today.
My pleasure.
Okay. I should ask you, when did this bargaining begin?
Oh, my goodness. So it seems like a long time ago now. It began officially when we sat down for the first time in June 2025. So our previous agreement expired on June 30th, 2025. So this one actually takes effect last year, if we can put it that way. It was a kind of a delayed process, and people will be familiar with the provincial bargaining context that we work in. And so people might have heard about the BCGEU strike and some of the other rumblings around other sector unions. So when all that dust settled, we were also able to settle.
It is not totally uncommon for collective bargaining agreements to take effect retroactively in a number of instances this has happened.
Absolutely.
Of course, no situation exists where absolutely 100% of people are 100% satisfied, but the bargaining process that led to this agreement appears to have gone fairly smoothly. Is that your assessment?
Absolutely. The last two rounds actually have been collegial, really professional, good relationships at the table, productive disagreement, the kind you should have at a university, right? So I would say in both of the last rounds, we've been pretty satisfied with the way things have gone in terms of the actual nuts and bolts of the process. You know, some people say a collective agreement or any kind of negotiation should result in an agreement that no one's happy with, right? No one's ever going to be absolutely happy because it's an agreement between two parties. But we think some really positive progress was made in this agreement, and we're certainly content with the way things went. And I don't know how long you've been at UNBC, but some of your listeners will know that it wasn't always so, right? We had to go on strike in 2015, again in 2019. We had some tough labor times. So it's really nice to see these negotiations going more smoothly.
So that's Dr. Jacqueline Holler, chief negotiator for the University of Northern British Columbia's Faculty Association. Let's spin things back around to Provost Dr. Bill Yu, representing the administration side of things at UNBC. The bargaining process that led to this agreement appears to have gone fairly smoothly. Is that your assessment from your side of things?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, the overwhelming favor of the agreement, it was 96.4% of membership voted to ratify, I think reflects, and in the board's unanimous ratification of it as well, does reflect the positive constructive relationship that exists and continues to grow between the university and the faculty association. You know, bargaining, you know, it can always be difficult. I mean, it's just nature often of collective bargaining, but this was professional, it was respectful. Everyone engaged on both bargaining teams was working towards the best interest of UNBC and our students.
Now, Dr. Beaulieu, as the provost, you are representing the administration side of things. From that end of things, what does this agreement mean for UMBC from your perspective as a UMBC administrator?
What this means, though, is, you know, moving forward, is that it provides clarity. It moves forward in meeting both the collective needs of both the university as the employer, as well as the faculty, on looking at how the university is run, how individuals are compensated in a fair and equitable way for the teaching, the research, the service they do for the institution. And it also speaks to the very much collegial and bicameral way that universities are governed. So, you know, collective agreements are the cornerstone in terms of how we operate as an institution. It provides, as I mentioned, clarity, provides surety. It also ensures, by reaching an agreement, that, you know, we're really recommitting to a shared commitment to fostering a strong and supportive environment for faculty, staff, and students. I mean, that's the purpose of agreements. It also ensures that, you know, mechanisms by which we deal with issues that may come up, because inevitably issues do come up. Universities are very complex, even particularly during the current situations we find ourselves provincially and nationally. But it does set, say for a better word, an understanding of where on key issues we find ourselves. The other things that the collective agreement does, it also moves forward to ensuring certain aspects that are related to retention of the fantastic faculty we have at UNBC. We often focus upon wage increases. I mean, that's often, I think, what the media does seem to pay particular attention to. But also, you know, one of the things that part of this process is there's discussions about benefits, where there needs to be movement based upon current situations that may have changed since the last agreement, looking at also issues relating to professional development and how both how the institution can support what is needed for individuals to continue their own professional career journeys and an introductory. It also is a mechanism often to identify different issues that are emerging that may be outside of the collective agreement, but as individuals will see, you know, when the agreement does and the finalized version get posted, memorandums of understanding also come out of this in terms of looking at various issues that we know are important to faculty, important to the university moving forward. So, yeah.
We also spun this question over to Chief Negotiator for the Faculty Association, Dr. Jacqueline Haller, on what this collective agreement means for UMBC from her perspective. Or perhaps more to that, maybe what doesn't it mean? I'm going to assume it doesn't mean that there's a strike on the horizon. As you mentioned earlier, there was difficulties in 2015, 2019. That's not on the table. Hooray.
Yeah, absolutely. I am very happy to say that, you know, we now have a very lengthy agreement that's going to take us into 2029. So for students now at UNBC, they can kind of have a sigh of relief and say, you know, nothing's going to disrupt my education in the way that, you know, unfortunately, we recognize that in 2015 and 2019, it was disruptive for students, you know, and we had wonderful support from the students, but there's pain around that. So there won't be any of that pain in the foreseeable future. And hopefully in 2029, we're going to sit down and have productive bargaining again.
It basically means continuity. Something you can count on. That's great.
Absolutely. And I mean, what I would also say is you'll have happy profs and SLIs and senior instructors and librarians and all those people we represent, because, you know, we made some good gains, not only in terms of keeping up with the cost of inflation, but more importantly, maybe on wellness. So benefits, things like physiotherapy that we had really bad benefits for. I know profs get bad backs we sit way too much. So some of these benefits are going to definitely make the person at the front of the room happier. So that's a good thing.
So that sounds like one of the highlights. If you'd like to add a few more to that list, what did you get out of the deal you felt was particularly important? Maybe what did UNBC get out of it? Did you have to compromise or give up anything you already had? Or where do you want to start with that?
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about giving up things we have, we call those concessions and we don't make them lightly. Obviously, there are always things that need to be clarified, and sometimes the employer brings those to the table and we're happy to agree. So no, we did not give up anything, although there were some items that the employer brought where we're like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. We need to clarify that. Let's do that. In terms of, you know, what we got, if you want to put it like that, we have two categories of members broadly. You know, you mentioned how many members we have. We have about 240 people who are full-time and permanent. So those would be your assistant professors, your associate professors, your full professors, but also librarians, SLIs, and senior instructors. But we also have sessional instructors. And those are about a third of our members. And those are people who are paid by the course. They don't have much job security. Sometimes students don't even know who's at the front of the room. Like, is this a prof? Is this, you know, someone on a contract? Those people are our most vulnerable members. And so we wanted to make gains for them. And we achieved something we've been trying for since 2014, which is that they get compensation linked to their seniority. So the more they teach, the better they get at teaching, the more they're going to be paid. So we think that's really positive. And we also achieved gains for them in terms of actually being guaranteed that their courses won't be taken away from them. So we're feeling pretty good about that. And we always try to balance. Let's make sure that we're doing things for our most precarious and vulnerable members, not just for the folks like me who have been here for 23 years in a professorial position.
I suppose that's a really important factor in the whole thing, to create some security for people who are coming into the faculty association so that you can retain that talent into the into the future. They don't just drop off and disappear.
Absolutely.
Long-term planning.
Yeah.
So with both sides of this collective agreement satisfied enough to agree on the agreement, I thought I'd ask for a bit of context. And as it turns out, Provost Dr. Beaulieu used to, at one time, be a faculty member at a different institution where he was a professor of history and also studied film, spent a lot of time in Northern Ontario around Thunder Bay, and eventually got a PhD exploring, you may have guessed, labor politics, to name a few things on the resume. And while the provost does not have a direct role in the actual negotiations, they do try to guide the conversation from the administration end of things during the process. It appears that you've had your feet in both worlds, maybe opposite sides of the bargaining process in the past. Do you think the perspectives that these different experiences have brought benefits the collective bargaining process from your view?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, again, yeah, I would say yes. I mean, from what I've seen in terms of the process here, because it had already begun before I'd arrived, a lot of mutual respect. I mean, one of the roles that a provost does do outside of bargaining is I monthly meet as part of the joint committee to oversee the collective agreement with the executive of the faculty association. I also am the individual that directly works with the grievance officers. So, and one of the things that struck me since I've arrived has been the mutual respect in all of the discussions I've been in, where there may be disagreements, or there may be misunderstandings, or there may be challenges on different items. But the one thing that's been, you know, very nice to be engaged within, it has been, again, that mutual respect, the professionalism, everyone wanting to work towards what is best for the institution. You know, I made a joke recently that, and I don't know how many provosts at other institutions may say this, I actually look forward to the meetings with both the union executive as well as the grievance officers, because we have some fantastic people here at UNBC that are working within the faculty association. And by far, they're all dedicated towards the institution. They are dedicated towards our students. And it's been an absolute pleasure working with them on many complex issues.
All right, so it would appear that things have moved along fairly hunky-dory, at least for this particular collective bargaining process. So if you're listening to this news segment on CFUR 88.7 FM The Fur, hoping for some juicy labor politicking drama, you didn't find it. So join us as we jump into a hypothetical worst-case scenario. First, with Faculty Association Representative Dr. Jacqueline Holler. If it was ever determined that the university and even its board of governors was totally out of hand, the university is falling apart at the seams, would the BC Ministry of Post-Secondary Education and Future Skills be able to come in and make everything right? Or, you know, what happens when literally no one gets along at all? It just, there's no way out of this situation.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. As you probably know, you know, universities are constituted, well, the four research universities, of which UNBC is one, are constituted under the University Act, and they have a huge amount of autonomy. So it's really up to the Board of Governors and the Senate to run this place and make sure it doesn't fall apart. And, you know, the president works for the Board of Governors. And so, you know, he's the one who's supposed to be making sure everything's in order. And if he's not doing it, it's the Board of Governors that has to step in and say, look, you know, you're out of here, or whatever it is, right? And fortunately, UNBC is an extraordinarily well-run university. We're not experiencing some of the pains that a lot of universities across Canada are experiencing right now. For example, because they over-relied on international students to pay the bills, right? So I think we've had a pretty prudent administration here at UNBC. So I can't imagine what would have to happen for the government to step in. It's just not something that happens, because the whole system has so many checks and balances built into it, with this bicameral governance of Senate and the Board of Governors, and then both of them really keeping an eye on, you know, the Senate on the academic mission, the Board of Governors on all the financial and business kind of stuff associated with the university. So, you know, that, I mean, that is a bit of a wild question, because I just don't think it's going to happen. So may we never see such a day. Let's put it that way. And at UNBC, I don't think we need to worry about it.
Thanks so much for that. And now, University of Northern British Columbia Provost Dr. Beaulieu. If it was ever determined that the university was totally out of hand, you know, there's torches and pitchforks all over the place, make everything right, or what higher power could come in and intervene to sort things out? Or is it totally?
Yes, I actually don't, to be honest, and maybe this is not to use for them, I actually don't know the answer to that, because I'm new to BC. So bargaining in BC, the one thing I have learned is bargaining in BC for universities is very different than where I was in Ontario. Mm. So even the nature of how we deal with general wage increases, I mean, the province has a balanced measures mandate. This is something that other provinces do not have in place. So there are certain guidelines, guardrails, I don't know what the word would be, about how, especially fiduciary aspects of collective agreements, like sort of the window by which you can actually operate within. That was something that is very much new to me. So the rest of the question, I actually don't know the answer to that. What I can say, though, is, you know, where collective bargaining has its issues isn't about the actual collective bargaining process. It's about the culture and the atmosphere that exists, at least in my opinion, at the institution prior to, I mean, and this can go back many years, and also following a collective bargaining. I mean, it shouldn't be viewed as you get together when a contract is up, you have discussions to work out things. It needs to be a very much holistic, where if there is a good and a strong academic culture, there is good collegial professional relationships between the university administration as well as the faculty association. That's what leads to the nature and type of bargaining that we just went through. Because there already is a certain level of trust, a certain level of understanding. It's not you're going in to build bridges. You already have bridges that exist, and you're teasing out different aspects about how you walk along those bridges together.
I suppose, to summarize a little, a certain amount of value should be placed on developing and maintaining ongoing relationships rather than waiting for agreements to expire and then sorting everything out then.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the role that, and going back to what I mentioned earlier about provost have a role in with the joint committee that oversees the agreement and meeting with the union executives frequently. Because that's where a lot of, you know, in my opinion, a lot of the work actually gets done, and a lot of the developing common understanding, working through both opportunities and also challenges in between bargaining actually do occur. So one aspect that universities often come up with, and very healthy dialogue will lead to memorandums of understanding that, and again, you know, it's collective agreements. Sometimes issues emerge that are not covered in collective agreements. It's in coming together, proactively addressing them. Sometimes they may have a sunset where the MOU that you have may suit its purpose and need. Sometimes those MOUs inform what are items that will be discussed during the next round of collective bargaining. Sometimes MOUs come out of collective bargaining because they're items of concern, but there needs to be much more work being done in discussion on it because they could be complex. It's all of that dialogue that occurs and how, you know, articles or elements of an agreement are interpreted. I mean, that's where the success in knowing that you have a healthy institution is you have that open, consistent, and constant communication between the university as well as the faculty association.
Dr. Michel S. Beaulieu, Provost for University of Northern British Columbia, thank you so much for providing that insight into this aspect of your world. It's appreciated.
You're welcome, and anytime.
Often when we turn on the news, the stories about employer-employee relations, collective bargaining, the ones that pop out at us, deals between administrators or corporations with unions and labor, negotiations turning upside down, going sour, protracted arbitration, conflict, tend to be the ones that pop out at us. At least this one in particular is not one of those stories. And University of Northern British Columbia's Faculty Association Chief Negotiator, Dr. Jacqueline Holler, said something listeners might find surprising.
It's good fun. If your listeners want to get involved, if they're in unionized workplaces in the future, get involved in bargaining. It's so meaningful and interesting, intellectually stimulating.
That's an interesting statement. I suppose it is always fascinating to understand how these greater systems work and people ultimately get along to do the work that they intend to do and are compensated fairly for it.
Absolutely. And treated fairly, right? One of the big things that people don't think about in terms of unions, they think about the compensation piece because it's true you get paid more if you're in a union. They often think about things like benefits, pensions, those kinds of things. But one of the most important things is just that your terms and conditions of employment are regular. So you as an employee will have the same experience as the person beside you. One of you won't be treated unfairly just because you rub somebody the wrong way. So it's about a workplace that's kind of fair, regular, equitable, all that good stuff. So you never feel like you're wasting your time when you do bargaining, right? You feel like you're engaged in something good that's also fun and stimulating.
I don't know if everybody involved in union negotiations and politics feels that way. I feel like I don't hear that perspective all that often. So that's interesting.
It's reality. Yeah. I think we all like to whine. It's funny because, you know, when we get together, there's a national meeting of negotiators that happens every spring. When we get together there, we tend to whine a lot. But sometimes you look around the room and you think we're all here because we really like doing this. And often, you know, at the end of it, people will say, isn't this great? Right? We love this work. So it is very rewarding.
Cool. University of Northern British Columbia and University of Northern British Columbia's Faculty Association ratify their 2025 collective agreement. Expiring 2029. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.